Hi, everybody, and welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings. They finally have a home. Mike, the Red Wings keep winning. They're winning in special ways. They're winning in different ways.
They're getting 5-on-5 goals.
They're getting 5-on-5 goals. They're not getting an 80% power play. They're winning on the road. They're winning on a West Coast trip.
They're getting diverse scoring up and down the lineup. I'm talking about, Elmer Soderblom. Big time, He's a real superstar. That guy at 6'8".
Cream always rises to 6'8".
Six feet, 8 inches of cream.
Oh, nice. 6 feet of coffee, 8 inches of cream. Oh, you gotta love it. Mike, this is the greatest Red Wings hockey team ever. Who says no? You, Scotty Bowman? I don't know what I'm doing there. Does anybody do that? Is that a who says no for just comments, like not
just
a trade.
Coach names out
not
there.
A trade, not games. Just who's the greatest Red Wings team of? Has there ever been, Mike, a greater 19 game stretch by any team ever? And I say no.
There was the undefeated Patriots. They were pretty good.
But they lost eventually in the Super Bowl. So,
has there been a bigger in-season turnaround? Locally than this one. I guess you could look at late summer's Tigers when they went 40-10. But I can't ever recall this for a Red Wing team. And man, if you want to feel proud of yourself, see somebody who feels pretty proud of themselves, it's gotta be Steve Yzerman right now.
Yeah, you gotta so this is like, right, the Lions did this a couple years ago. That was 3 seasons ago, right? Or 2 seasons ago. This current season's over. 2 seasons before this current Lions season,
mid-season 2 years ago, they went 9-8 and then just missed the playoffs. Yeah.
And then you're right. Tigers did it this past summer. So you asked the question, have we ever seen? Yes. Very recently, Mike, we've seen this twice. So now this is 3 of our 4 teams, Mike. Yes, it's very boring. Yeah, the storyline we're very used to as Detroit sports fans. Struggling first half, and the boys just seem to turn around. Now this one is unique in the fact that it was a new coach and a new voice that got things going, as opposed to the guard. The unchanged guard, the man in charge, and their either tactics or culture seem to fuel the narrative, fuel the comeback. Todd seems to be doing that, but it's just a fresh, brand new take. I guess what I'm saying too with the Tigers was, like, you and I have talked about this. I mean, that was a lot of strategy. That was, we've got one starting pitcher and we're going to make this work with everybody else. And it worked. You got to the playoffs. You got through the wild card. It worked. It was very smart. On the Lions side, it was culture. For the Red Wings, you'd have to say it's a combo of both, right? Because this is play effing hockey plus this penalty kill that is very stand your ground and make the right move here. Like, be aggressive, but be smart. And it's working out. And Mike, you're Detroit Red Wings. Whoops. We're in a playoff spot. In the first wild card. And you've got a game, Mike, this Saturday at 1:00 against the Tampa Bay Lightning before you go into the Four Nations season or part of the season. You get a nice little breaky break. Still got rumors flying around, Mike, that Elias Pettersson might still be on the trade block, and the Red Wings are apparently at the top of folks' list. Wow. Mike, this is...
These are some crazy times.
This is a fun time being a Red Wings fan again. It was... I mean, it's February 5th, Mike. Christmas Day. The day before, Derek Lalonde, Mike, was opening presents with his family Christmas morning, talking about how great it is that they can give their kids such a wonderful Christmas because of the job he had with the Detroit Red Wings. But Mike, fast forward a month and 10 days, and Mike, the Detroit Red Wings fans rejoice. We're back in it. Mike, fast, we're not
fast,
just...
Fast forward 2 months from the Lalonde family worst Christmas ever. And my God, are the Red Wings having the best two-month stretch in recent Red Wing history. Man.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean... Easily a bottom five Christmas in the Lalonde family. Got to be a bottom five Christmas for the
Lalonde.
We
don't know the extent of any of the other 30 Christmases, but easily, like,
it's got to be bottom five.
It's got to be bottom three.
Yeah.
They're like, it's one of the worst. But to our chagrin, Mike, we're back in it. Like we mentioned, for anybody who's not pulling up those standings after every single game and just staring at it, waiting for it to update, the Wings hold that first wild card spot at 61 points. Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning do hold points percentage over us right now. So this game on Saturday is huge because Tampa's got 52 games played. We have 54. We're both at 28 wins. You'd have to take a peek at Boston right underneath Tampa. We have a game in hand over Boston, 55 games played. They're at 60 points. And then Columbus is sniffing around there too. 54 games played, just like us, at 59 points. And then, man, I mean, it just keeps going. Islanders have a game in hand on us, and they're at 57 points. Montreal's still sniffing around. The Rangers, they're 6 points out. Yeah.
We had a couple comments come in. Jim Johnson saying, what momentum? Todd has the boys rolling. Dan B, Sam Ulner, from everyone we fired Harry Neal and hired Brad Park. Didn't work out so well. But then Jim said, I remember going back to the late 1950s, early 60s, in those damn Dead Wings era. Yeah, Jim, how old are you, sir? My God,
yeah,
I didn't know
Jared,
you were that old.
Jesus, Jim, how old are you? He's 71.
Wow.
In honor of Dylan Larkin, Jim made it to 71. Good job,
yeah.
Jim.
You now you got to make it to 85 for Soderblom. Jim.
Hey, you know, a lot of people are trying to figure out, is this fake? You know, is this something that we can, like, get on the edge of our seat? Should we start paying attention to? So this is sans the shootout win against the Kraken. But this is still 19 games played. The Red Wings and one of the stats that used to be huge, but now it's just a measurement of, like, where could this team be trending? Yeah. Mike, you'd have to call out the PDO right now. PDO for the Detroit Red Wings right now is at 100.
Jared,
it's at 1,000.
No,
it's at 1.000. You
no low hanging fruit jokes, Jared. You promise. Matt, continue with your pedo information.
My point being, sorry. I gotta get back on track here. What was I saying? Right. So PDO, the way that this is measured, for anyone not familiar, you take a look at your shot percentage, you take a look at your save percentage, right? So when you add those two numbers up, how close are you to 100 or 1,000, however you want to look at this? Natural Stat Trick breaks this out as like a score of 1,000. If you are above 1,000, chances are you're getting a little too much luck. That's why they call it, like, puck luck is measured with PDO. That means either you're saving too many, or your shooting percentage is too high. If it's too low, you're not doing enough. Either your team's just straight up bad, or pucks are going off. I shouldn't say going off the post, because those don't actually count as shots. But, you know, you're not getting the bounces to get the puck in the back of the net. But, Mike, where the Red Wings are at right now, you couldn't rightly say that they're getting too much or too little of anything. They're right where they should be. Mike, this Red Wings team is built to be 14-4-1. It breaks the PDO system, or at least falls right in line with it. This is something that, as you guys go about go through Reddit, go about your day arguing or speaking with friends and family, coworkers. Is this real? I've been asked that question a lot, and I've said, look, there's a way you can measure it, and it exists right here. You can look at it. This is what I've pointed to. As much as I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop or fall or whatever the phrase is, statistically, they're right where they should be. This is where the wins should be at. Because you get this turnout, you get this result, and yeah, you're right at 1,000, Mike. You're not getting too much, too little of anything. It's legit right now, Mike. That's what the stats say.
Yeah, if for anybody coming in a little bit later, Matt and I were just talking about, you know, this stat is really inspiring to make you think, okay, maybe there's some juice to this streak, but they're just finding so many different ways to win. It's almost any way you could think of on the bingo card. They're finding a way to do it. So, you know, we're talking about 5-on-5 play. We're talking about winning with defense. Talk about winning with power play, with the penalty kill, against good teams, against bad teams, on the road, at home. They're running out of ways to prove that this is legit. Like, what other tests do you want them to pass? And at this point, we know what the ultimate test is. It's to actually sustain this up through and including the playoffs. Because it, again, as the standings, as they sit today, we're in there. And we're not that far behind from getting out of this disgusting wild card zone and getting top three in the division. So again, thank you for hanging in, for joining. And for listening as Matt described pedo stats and how good the Red Wings are at that.
Just to sort of like cap off the conversation here. I mean, this is what the team looks like over 53 games. And to sort of like put this evidence together that things are just really, oh my God, they just could not be better right now. You were falling off the charts on the penalty kill. You were off the charts on the power play. And even strength, you were falling off the charts from an offensive perspective, and defensively, you were just about middling. So you've been able to pretty much take all this and just tighten it up. Everything's kind of coming a little bit closer to center. So I like the idea there that you would come a little bit closer to center on everything, because you're not really cheating, right? You're not really doing one of these things that you're just waiting again for the other shoe to drop. You're just waiting for the ground underneath you to fall out, because you're just doing things right again statistically as you take a peek at this team. These episodes are hard, Mike, because normally we have something that we can whine about, complain
the
about.
Airing these, they're usually therapeutic episodes where it's the airing of grievances, but there's not really a lot to be upset about with this streak, Matt. They're finding and mining all sorts of different ways to win. Like we just said a second ago, Joe, welcome aboard. I don't know if we've seen Joe in a minute. Welcome. Saying wings on fire. Let's go. And yeah, this Todd McClellan magic, as Jim Johnson mentions, it just keeps on keeping on.
I've got Jared's favorite chart here. If you guys are looking at your phone, you're not going to be able to read this at all. but we're looking at the hockey stat cards from the game against Seattle. Dylan Larkin for the Wingdings puts out your best gamer score. Of course, these can't come from Dom Luszczyzn, and he's pulling stats from Natural Stat Trick. Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, just always at the top of this thing. Again, Marco Kasper, we have to start taking a look at these highlights, because that first goal, which I think eventually goes to Lucas Raymond, It really is just like what's going right with this team. So I'm going to take a minute here and pull that up. But while I'm doing that, like it's something that Max Boltman's been trying to figure out, and I heard him talking today on like What Chaos, and he's describing like what is changed with this team. And he gives an example of the penalty kill, and he's talking about like, yeah, the strategies have changed a little bit. We've talked about the diamond, and it's a tight diamond, and they're making choices to like attack at the right time. But Max brought up, you know, giving some guys on the team opportunities to step up, you know, not just seeing like Erik Gustafsson kind of sucks, so we're just going to bury him. And Todd has challenged him. And you could see where I'm coming to this point. Gustafsson's on this list on the top half for the Red Wings here. He's going to come to play on a positive gamer score in this game against the Kraken. That's all you're looking for. You're looking for a positive here from Gustafsson. We just want him to not continue to bury this team. Now, a lot of the times, against Max's point, he did call out Gustafsson. He made mention that Todd McLellan has been giving him more chances, like testing him. And it's something we've brought up before, that Todd is putting these guys in these position that says, maybe I trust you enough. Maybe like go prove to me that you need more minutes. But whatever it is, it's not just like a roll of the dice. He's definitely trying to build more of a culture here that you've got to go earn it. And he was asked about Jeff Petry being injured, and I believe I saw this posted on our Discord channel. So guys, go join the Discord if you're new to our YouTube. But his response was like, "We've got Johansson. We're good, bro. I'm not worried about that right now." And it's because he's given him an opportunity to shine. He's given him an opportunity to show off. And he's taking advantage of it. And that would be Albie taking advantage of it. I mean, you could argue Todd's taking advantage of it too. But one of the other guys, obviously, we talked about this last week, is Marco Kasper. And this is going to be the goal that's going to set the Wings up with our 1-0 lead. And this is, I think my mouse pops up here. Yeah, Marco's coming in to fight to win this puck on the boards here. And this is where, I mean, we saw this in the preseason and we called this out. And we were like, how nasty could this be if you've got a guy who's going to go get dirty in the boards but has a little bit extra skill on top of that? So when he's winning that puck battle and he's going to make the right next move with the puck, there was so much potential there. And we saw that on like some of his penalty killing opportunities where you're like, wow, this could really turn things around. What we forgot to talk about or discuss was like, how good would this look if we gave him the two best talents on the team to pass the puck to, which is what you see here in the rest of the play, where it's Dylan Larkin throwing it at the net and Lucas Raymond's going to bury this thing. And we've got to get to a little bit slower of a replay here so you can see what's going on. But I mean, this is something where I think another play that perfectly encapsulates like what Todd McLellan is coaching and bringing to this team. You've got Lucas Raymond going to the front of the net. You've got Dylan Larkin making the play that's available to him. You've got Marco Kasper winning a board battle. And Marco, like, to talk about not just what Todd McLellan's doing, but McLellan knowing that he can give Kasper this opportunity. Because they kind of, you know, they could see there was that potential there. Todd could see that potential there. And it was something that, from a Lalonde perspective, those chances, those risks just were not being taken. Like, what would Marco Kasper look like if we gave him a long time on the first line? Well, we're seeing it, Mike. A point per game pace and some hard-nosed play on the boards that this first line desperately needed. And, you know, like if you're not winning that board battle, it doesn't matter that Lucas is going to the front of the net. It doesn't matter that Larkin will be smart enough to take that open chance that he's given. But all of this combined together is creating a nasty first line. I think Lucas Raymond is really standing out as, I mean, the conversation has to stop. It's a superstar. Lucas Raymond is the Detroit Red Wings superstar right now. He's the guy that you build your marketing around going forward. That's it. You take a 1-0 lead against Seattle. I know this goes to a shootout, but that's what you needed to do on the road when you're wrapping up a West Coast trip. Because rewind a couple weeks, and we're looking at the last home game on our homestand, and we made all these excuses for the Red Wings. Was it the Sharks we lost to? But all the excuses we were making were like, ah, the homestand's wrapping up. You're kind of like looking ahead. You're getting ready for the road trip. Same thing happens at the end of these West Coast trips. Not to mention, it's how many, 4 games and 5 or 6 nights? That's a lot of hockey. But they come out, get the first goal. This team is playing right, playing at the right time. You would have liked, you would have liked a 4-2 win. Don't get me wrong there. But you still, you have enough talent. You knocked it out. Good job, boys.
I think it's just interesting, too, to juxtapose that game with what they did against the Canucks, where that was an excruciating game to watch because it felt like Vancouver dominated the play for much of the game. It kind of felt like, when are we going to get a turn with the puck? So Jim Johnson kind of throwing that out there, that they were playing on fumes. So I think there's a little concern about, oh, man, it's the tail end of this trip. They did have a hell of a streak, but you know, this might be where it falls apart. Back-to-back games, traveling all over northern Canada, you know, western Canada, more importantly, getting farther and farther away. But yeah, plays like what Casper was doing, a guy I know that we want to touch on here in a minute, Aaron Conway, welcome. I don't think I've seen your name before. How you doing, man? Saying, no way Soderblom gets sent back down at this point, right? Because, yeah,
do we want to take a look at that replay? I'll play it while you're talking.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, a couple of huge things, right, is the play of Casper, the play of Soderblom, and where it feels like McClellan has just totally, you know, opened these guys' minds, just unlocked, like, you know, the freedom to kind of play as themselves, kind of do what they're best at. And that's, you know, Casper banging on the boards. That's Soderblom being a giant body in front of the net. And not doing the Holmstrom thing, but using his soft hands to, you know, get in the right spot and put goals away. It just seems like such a simple concept, but under Lalonde, it was like those goals were just non-existent. So they're just putting guys in spots to succeed for, you know, what they're best at. So I don't think it's a surprise that, you know, Casper's got that. Is it 11 or 12 games now where he's got a point a game? Soderblom, every night, it's almost a running joke that I can't believe he's producing this much, where his point streak continues. And coming in on, you know, 5-on-5 opportunities, too. And then, just because there are a few comments in here, Joe throwing it out there, Jim throwing it out there about Kane's goal. Yeah, it was pretty sick. He totally no-sold it, too, with like a 15 deeker that goes over the goalie shoulder, and he just kind of skated quietly to the bench. I really like that Barry Sanders goal celebration there. But did you want to touch on the kids again with McClellan's impact on them?
Yeah, we got the game winner queued up here too. This is just a thing about beauty. What's the comment you make on this? You know, it's Patrick Kane. It's showtime.
Yeah, I had the Seattle broadcast too, and they weren't even upset. They were just like, "Well, it's Kane,
all right,
all-time leader, and you know, shootout goals. What are you going to do?" So,
right,
it was an impossible, you know, imaginative performance there in that shootout.
But yeah, I mean, you know, to kind of finish off like the Soderblom comment, when you take a look at like that play that Valeno makes. And actually you could think about the Lucas Raymond goal too. But Todd made that comment where he was like, we're not trying to get that first shot. We're trying to get the next one. And that was Edmondson from the point. You could see that both Soderblom and Valeno were going for the tip. And then puck falls out in front of Valeno. Valeno makes an amazing play to a wide open Soderblom, who does have to finish that off. That was some high skill there. That was a great hard nose play and smart play by Valeno to get the puck to Soderblom. But the Bloomer, man, he had to make a move to get that net open and make sure he had the space to finish that sucker off. So that was a beaut in so many different ways, but both of those add up.
Well,
he did
the other thing too that we were begging for. He's a 6'8", you know, Goliath, a gargantuan human being. And who was it that he hammered in that Seattle game? And I was like, yes, give me more of that. Like, he's that whole body, man. He had that power check. I think it was behind our own net. So that and the goal, it you guys, I think I'm going Soderblom jersey shopping. I think it's finally going to happen. I was just worried he's going to change his number. So I think he's going to stick with that 85. So that jersey will still be cool.
I don't know.
Don't say it. No, because then I won't buy it.
All right. Can we talk, though, about like the cutest thing ever? I know this is not everybody
can't wait
is
for you to see a picture is, of 6'8" Soderblom being cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Not everything is everybody wants to be such a silly goose like I am. All right. We gotta talk about this. This is adorable. This is a team that this chemistry that's being built right now is like off the charts. Soderblom's happy. And then when he sees Edvinson, watch. Those two guys love each other, man. Like a couple of Swedish behemoths. I saw this and I was like, wow, that's the most adorable thing I've ever seen. That's me like looking at my kids. That's so funny that he sees Edmondson and makes that face.
Decoy knows what I'm talking about when I say that was some great AT, and he was teeing on that ice. Big meaty man slapping meat, doing a little teeing. Man.
Can I say
maybe they shop together at the Big and Tall, so it kind of makes sense that they're so close. Yeah.
Get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. I got to say, too, you got to take a look at those futures odds. There's some juicy ones out there if you guys want to go take a peek. Take a peek at some of those awards. I don't know. There's a couple of them out there. I would highly recommend taking a second look. If you are new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet just $5. Get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problems gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Have you played Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? You better get on it. The playoffs are here and the time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, does fantasy sports like no one else. Play for better payouts on Pick 6. It's super easy to get started. You can select two or more players, choose if they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and more. And DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers, play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Win more cash on Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problems gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable. Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. I know this is the kiss of death, but I don't even care about this strength of schedule anymore. The Wings are just rolling right now.
Our problem didn't seem to be the opponent. It just seemed so internal with Lalonde. So now I I'm not too worried about this strength of schedule, because it feels like we figured some stuff out internally. We still have some room to make a move, which we probably won't. Just buckle up for that Yzerman press conference. Oh, we got a new coach, and that's kind of our trade deadline. We got a coach, so we won't need anybody else because we got a coach.
Decoy calls this out. I want to take a peek. Decoy says April schedule is brutal. While I'm rolling through this,
Well, they still got to update
wait for
this
this to pop up. Yeah.
toughest opponents layout because they got to update it and have the Red Wings as tough opponents because now we're good.
Yeah, we should fall under there, right? We're above the
Oh
whenever
man, Jim, you're
550
dropping
special.
my other jersey idea. If I don't get Soderblom, I'm definitely getting my Axel jersey. I don't know if I'm gonna say Sandin Pelikka or if I'll just say Axel on the back. Oh, and Matt, your Bizarro account. Welcome, Matt. Other Matt, saying number one hardest remaining schedule in the league. Let's go. Are we still pulling it up for April?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That looks big enough. There we go.
Yeah. It's bigger than our usual graphics there. So if you are only listening, you get St. Louis on the road, Carolina at home, Florida at home. Ooh. Ooh, a couple of sandworms there. Then you get Montreal on the road, Florida on the road, Tampa on the road, Dallas at home, and then you get the Devils on the road
Oh my
in
God.
July. So you might want to try to clinch by the end of March, because God forbid you gotta win some of these games in April. That's a
Wow.
gonna be a slobber knocker right there.
Well, Mike, maybe we don't want to do anything at the trade deadline.
Wow.
Oh my God. Man, who called this out? Decoy. Holy
Yeah, Decoy.
mackerel. This is like, So you've got to rack up the points in March, which was very hard to do last year, as we walked
Oof.
away with one of the worst Marches of all time, if not the worst. I remember seeing like tweets last year, like statistically the worst March of all time. But I can neither confirm nor deny. I can only confirm that I think I remember seeing that on Twitter. But anywhoozles,
Huge,
I
by the
mean
way.
that's
I'm probably gonna look at tickets for that Toronto game. I'm just letting you know right now.
Really?
That'd be a fun trip. Oh my God, Matt, breaking news.
Ah,
We just had
Chewy!
the Royal Rumble. We're used to guest appearances. Decoy vouch for that. Chewy making his Royal Rumble
He's
return. Welcome,
alive!
Chewy.
Chewy, what's up, man? We missed you, buddy.
Yeah. You still got
Chewster!
it. What's
Chewy,
up?
Chewy, Chewy. What's going on, Chewy?
Chewie doing his best Alexa Bliss impression. Coming back.
I don't
Woo-hoo-hoo.
want to commit to that Leafs game because I'd rather buy playoff tickets. I just can we just do that? I don't. We'll just cheer for, the Wings
They
while they're in
might need us.
Toronto.
They might need us then more than ever.
I don't want to do that. I just.
Road trip. Let's go.
I heard a fun conversation on that What Chaos podcast today. They did a little section on the Red Wings today, and it was kind of fun. But they brought up because their favorite arena, and I if you guys haven't listened to What Chaos, highly recommend it. Their favorite arena is Little Caesars Arena. They think that the Coop has the best chicken tenders in the NHL. I also grade them fairly high. And they were talking about like they explored like Little Caesars Arena, got like a tour, and they kept talking about like that little outdoor area between the parking garage and Little Caesars Arena, and how much they can't wait for like the road game or the home game and all of us poor people outside celebrating. But like that moment where you finally get a Red Wings playoff game, Lucas Raymond scores, and they get to do that shot out between the parking garage and LCA in that big area, and just like get to see us the real fans erupt. That's gonna be
It's been a long time coming. Long time coming, especially for that Little Caesars.
Here's Dan. Dan's calling it right. It was me who jinxed them last year. So
God, there's no jinxing. I called
right. Well, we had that Dan episode.
He said our trade deadline deal is going to be bringing up Cosa, which I don't hate at all.
We had that episode where we said it's done. We're a playoff team. Now we need to figure out our position. And then from that episode, we just sucked. We could not win a game. So Dan B is 1,000% right. We, similar to today, we said this is it. You have a good hockey team. It's we've waited. I think the test, like we've talked about these tests, and it's like what can Todd do after a losing streak? No, his first test was, can this team kind of turn things around after that horrible December? And clearly the first 7-game winning streak did that. Then there was another losing streak and he pulled them out of that. I think the next test is that we saw last year, everything's going to heat up in March. Everything gets turned up a little bit. It's the Red Wings have been able to win in January and February. This is the third straight year. Because we were talking playoffs 2 years ago, and then we got shellacked, absolutely shellacked in Ottawa. And it was like, that was when March started. Right. So now do the next big test here, because you're going to get a lot. You're getting a long break, right, with the Four Nations, which I don't care at all. I'm really just looking at it as an opportunity to play Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, everybody's kind of, I don't know. I'm not huge on it, but I get how some people would want to go over it or be excited about it, I guess. But
if you're excited about it,
if you want to feel, if you want to, I think was it Decoy who brought up April. If you want to feel a little bit better about April, can I just read this off for you?
Sure.
This is the streak since we got McClellan. We beat Washington, beat Pittsburgh, which, you know, Columbus was a must have. Winnipeg, that's a must have. Ottawa, must have. Chicago and Seattle, jabronis. San Jose was the letdown game. And we beat Florida, huge for us. We never do that. Tampa, we got a spanking. Dallas gave us a bare butt spanking. Philly, we lost that close in overtime. And then we beat Montreal, needed. Tampa, needed. The Kings, needed. Edmonton on the road, needed. Beat Calgary, huge, because it's a tough road trip, Vancouver and now Seattle. I guess we didn't beat the Blackhawks 12 games in a row. You know what I mean? Like, there's some real teams that we needed to get some important points against. So I think it's just important to kind of remind ourselves that, yeah, I mean, I don't know, April looks, you know, pretty bleak. Tough, pretty daunting task to come out of that month with a winning record. But McClellan's proven quite a bit already. And, man, if they could win that Tampa game, that would be pretty incredible to close out that streak before the break with another huge win with the team we're competing with for seeding. So yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. Pretty fun to actually have something to lose. You know what I mean?
Should we be driving down to Columbus March 1st?
Probably.
Yeah, we should, right? What are we doing?
Especially if we're buying those jerseys. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell are we doing? That's the game we should go to. That kicks off, like, you know, obviously it kicks off March. It's March 1st. That kicks off, you know, the gauntlet of that. At least how I'm looking at it is where, you know, maybe it's just a mental thing the Red Wings have to get over, or it's that the rest of the NHL is turning it off. But
Decoy says, you know what? You guys are right. Fire up the buzzsaw. No, 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 no.
Blake says, pick me up on the way. Decoy, Red Wings rant tailgate. I don't know. We'd have to get, I'd have to get some major commitment from you guys if
we're going to drive down there and
have a tailgate.
My saying, my car shuts off before Toledo. Hey, don't forget, Toledo Zoo is pretty nice. I think it's like, Southern Michigan, I think, Toledo.
I mean,
it's ours.
I just look at every trip through Ohio as an opportunity to take a big dump inside of it. So
yeah, it's good for road dumps.
Yeah. You're just you have opportunity for more. Mike,
like
we just
to
went
leave
to
a little piece of myself behind.
Yeah. We just went to Indianapolis. What's the drive? We did 4 hours to Indianapolis this past weekend, which, by the way, guys, do not highly recommend. Wasn't the best city in the world, but go to the Royal Rumble. You just cross your fingers that you run into Sami Zayn the next morning to give you the one memorable thing you do the whole trip, which we did do. Anybody who's a wrestling fan, we had breakfast with Sami Zayn, and you didn't. Your life sucks. Ours is great. We had breakfast with a pro wrestler.
Dan B reminding us that there was I-69 and we did go to the Uranus Fudge Factory. So miss that. Yeah. It took a hard sell for me to get Matt to get in there, and he could not stop laughing. Matt loves nothing but crassy. When the cashier tells you thank you for picking Uranus, oh man, woo! Years spent honing and crafting the jokes in the Uranus Fudge Factory. So hopefully you guys can make it out there someday. Off I-69, no joke.
Jim says if Wings make the playoffs, Red Wings rant and followers will crack open the champagne. I think that would be fun. But I'm also, Mike, I'm still committed. If we make it to the goddamn playoffs, we're doing an episode every night. We just haven't needed that. We haven't needed to do that. We need to do the, you know, post game. We need to do pregame. We need to do day off between games, like what's happening in practice. So yeah, I would say like it'll end up being like 3 or 4 episodes a day if we make it to the playoffs.
I would also say we gotta make some time on March 7th. It's the NHL trade deadline. Unless the Red Wings make some sort of move before then. Because we'll want to be there on that day too. So have that one circled. Is that?
That's March a Friday.
7th? Yeah.
And they works, play. Then. They're going to be in Washington. And Washington is still like, what, 30 mil over the cap? Like, it's so funny that we're all like, how did Washington make a team that's good enough to be in the playoffs? It's because they're $30 million over the cap still. That's how you do it, Mike. You just say, I don't care. What's the cap?
Smart
I hired
move.
The guys from, what was the old cap? Oh, Cap Friendly. They hire the guys from Cap Friendly, and they're like, yeah, let's go 30 mil over the cap. You guys figure out the rest. And the Cap Friendly guys are like, all right, we got this. What does Puckpedia have them at right now? Oh, 12. Okay, so they're 12 million. They're like, thank God Ovechkin broke his leg, but they are 12 million over the cap.
And Blake
crazy
asking, Iserman going to give us a cookie? I would like to, Blake. I like a cookie, but I think he's probably going to just say it was the coach, and he wants to see his young guys develop. So. I'll just try to curb my enthusiasm, even though I'm really jacked right now for my beloved Pistons, who have less than 24 hours to make a move before their trade deadline. I love trades. Ooh, and then Jim asking, boys, who should the Wings try and get at the deadline? His priority, Jim says, is an upgrade on defense. I've been trying to talk myself into Bowen Byram and, I don't know, swapping out, like, Rasmussen, because the money's kind of similar, but... I don't know.
Well, I don't know if
Buffalo really wants to give that to us.
I put this little ditty together only because who do I want? Do I want Dylan Cousins? No, but I've been trying to make myself feel better about it because this is still the ongoing rumor. Elliot Friedman started it, but that the Wings were targeting Dylan Cousins. So this is how I'm making myself feel better about it. And if you guys are listening to the podcast, not watching on YouTube, the argument I'm making is it all revolves around the cap going up. And I think we did talk about this last week, but it's going up to maybe I have that. Here it is. 88 this year, 95.5 for next season, 104 the season after that, 113.5 the season after that. Unprecedented jump in cap. If you want to spend, they're kind of calling this the turn of the tide, Mike. The Winnipegs of the NHL, we hardly knew ye. They will not be able to get up to 113. But the Wings have proven in the past that they do like spending money. So the argument I made here was just a simple one with all of the cash that will be made available. That these types of contracts, Mike, are going to be at a premium. This is a 6-year contract. The $7.1 million looks absolutely redonkulous right now. But as that cap continues to go up, he's going to be eating up a smaller percentage of the cap than Kopp eats right now. Kopp's at 6.4. This 7.1 by the end of the contract, and who's to say the cap doesn't continue to go up, is going to be eating just about 6% of the cap. This is something with a guy who has shown in the past he can produce. He does bring even strength offense to the ice. And do I want this? Is this what I'm kicking doors in for to make sure, like, this is how I improve my Red Wings team? No! I want to improve our 5-on-5 offense with just better defense. I still feel like we're such a big fat hole at the bottom, our bottom D pair, that one addition is going to help us improve this, the even strength offense. It'll help us spread out some of the more talented guys on our D. And I'll say this, improve that top pair. You know what, Sherratt, fine. You've definitely been serviceable. I'm not shouting for the guy to be benched. I'm done making those claims. When you win, it's so much easier to watch these games and suffer through, you know, anybody who doesn't play a perfect game like Moritz Seider. But it would not hurt to upgrade that first pair. And it's very, I get it. For anybody who would call me out on my Sherratt hate, I'm not doing it, but you can upgrade that first pair for sure. And I don't mind the Bo and Byram conversation, but Mike, maybe the best thing you'd have going for you is that he's a restricted free agent, so he's not going to get paid like everyone else this upcoming summer, but he is going to be owed a little bit more.
He's going to get a raise, yeah. I did want to throw a few comments in there. First of all, Jared saying, I'm not getting a cookie. I'm going to get a great Pop-Tart. Oh, no. Jared, how could you? And then there's a lot of pushback on the Cousins move. Basically, we don't need another guy who doesn't play defense, a 5-on-5 forward. It's going to be, you know, a little one-sided there. And then Dan B said, can't buy out Kopp? Put him to work at Comerica Park? Kopp, we're going to need you to sell concessions up and down the staircases. I can't, my core. Damn it, Kopp. Who hired this guy?
I think
there's a consensus to prioritize defense.
Yeah, I would say the main problem here with this upcoming trade deadline is when we are going through that list of teams that are still sniffing around. Because I don't know if we have enough teams that are waving the white flag yet. And I don't know, besides the Byram conversation, like how many good situations you're going to put yourself in. This is one that, again, if I had to justify it to myself, this is how I'm going to make myself feel better, is that you're talking about a 23-year-old kid. Let's not forget about that part. Plenty of room for improvement. He's shown on a crappy team he can produce. But again, these contracts that are 6 years long, you are basically, Mike and I were trying to talk about this on our road trip to Indianapolis, and I was trying to compare it to, like, you have people right now that would refuse to refinance their current mortgage because their rate is so insanely good right now. And if they refinance, they're going to be paying out the behind. So you got to hang on to that mortgage. Even if you wanted to refi and get some cash out, even if you wanted to move, you want to stay in your old house. So the reason you do that, again, is to keep that rate the same. If you get one of these 6-year contracts, like, it's insane that Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond went long-term with their deals. I love them. I think they got screwed, honestly, because those deals are going to be like, they're $1.5 million within what we're talking about with Cousins here. And they're just going to be a little bit more expensive than what we consider the Andrew Kopp contract to be right now on today's salary cap in another 3 years. That's crazy. We're going to have a superstar getting way underpaid in Lucas Raymond in a few years, and I'm going to feel so bad for him. But also, we're going to have plenty of room to try things like this. But I think these contracts are going to be a premium.
How do you feel about Colton Parayko?
I was looking at that, too. Jared says stop talking about work. If I was talking about work, I'd be telling you guys to refinance your home. I was looking at this one too. Because this is the struggle, right? Like, you're trying to figure out who stinks enough that you can start to look at their roster, and who makes sense with what I just described. Parayko's in another one of those realms, because his contract goes to 2030, right? The only problem is that is like an egregiously like long contract for a guy who's already 31. But he does give us a right shot D. I would say I do like the way things are figuring themselves out with Albie and Simon on the second pair. So you also have an Axel you're going to try and find a spot for soon. As much as we hate the right side of our D, if I'm going long term, I don't know. I might prioritize the left side of the D right now. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I haven't really given that thought till this moment, so there could be something else I'm missing. I will admit that. But Jim, I like the call out, because I thought of this too. It feels like St. Louis is in that realm. Feels like a 6.5 mil is going to feel like nothing in a couple of years. And
do we have to pick up another defenseman that's 31, 32?
That's my fear. Contract?
Yeah. Like, because he's going to be making, what, 6.5 for the next 4 years?
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, and to try and justify the Cousins one, you're like, all right, he's 23. He's shown he can put 40 goals in the bet. Was it 40 was his best season or 30? But he showed he could put the puck in the back of the net. So it's like, we kind of brought in a guy who did that and was a little bit older.
His career high at age 21. That's the season he played the most games. So he was in 81 games. He got 31 goals, 37 assists, 68 points.
Thanks. So, no problem. Yeah, there's that potential there. And to do that at 21 years of age, that's not too shabby. He's also 6'3", 195 pounds. You put a little bit more beef on this boy. There's something to solve there. And he's a center, you know? There's a problem to be solved with that size, I guess is what I meant to say. But
as far as defensemen go, because I know a lot of as far as like the lists, guys kind of on the block, is Ristolainen do anything for you from the Flyers?
No. Does it do anything for me? No. There's been too many like seasons where it's been like, this guy doesn't know how to hockey. We'll give it a shot, but it's just not working. And there's been flashes.
We would be doing them a favor too, because he's looking at 3 years at 5.1.
I don't think there's an 82 game season in that guy. Does that make sense? I think a team could trick themselves into doing it, but I don't think I want it to be us.
So we'll just do last five seasons, 49 games, 66, 74, and then 31 last year. He has played a lot this year. He's at 54 games, but He's kind of had a little bit of a rough spell for basically for like 5 or 6 years. So kind of tough.
He's at 81% war, has pretty good penalty kill numbers. So, you know, I could be one to be, you know, like I could stand to be corrected here, but I know the narrative attached to Rasmus is just like, you're not going to get 82 games out of this guy. You're going to get flashes that look really good, but keep your distance.
Jim saying Colton isn't much shorter than Elmer and has 28 points, including 11 goals, and he's plus three. I like that that's our new criteria, Jim. That's how I judge good hockey players, is by height. It used to be by looks, and now I go by height. And Dan B, Zach Werenski, you dirty dog, you. I don't know if that's going to happen. And then Brian, welcome, Brian. Late to the party, you sure are. Matt and I are almost at the wrap it up part. But hello. Brian coming in late. We're just talking about maybe some targets here. So we get, you know, within a month of the trade deadline. I think the overall consensus is something on the blue line, somebody on the blue line. But, you know, we can be, and Brian reminding me, height doesn't determine goal scoring. Oh, yeah, look at Elmer. He's the antithesis to that comment. I can be persuaded into a forward, but probably defense is here.
I'm still playing this game of like looking for longer contracts so that we could take advantage of their current numbers. This is bordering on the overpay a little bit. But Sergachev right now, 8.5 mil. Playing for Utah right now, which they just traded for Sergachev, and it was one of those trades. It was like, oh, maybe this defense is going to be pretty good. So his finishing is at 95%. The even strength offense is there. Power plays there. Penalty kills there. Still, even strength defense numbers are pretty low in the 22 percentile, according to Jay Fresh's player cards. This is one where I'm kind of like talking to Utah and I'm like, do you want us to take him off your hands? And Utah's going to be like, why? We have the cap space. We traded for this guy. Why am I going to do that? So that's kind of the situation you're going to be in, where Utah's like, dude, we're trying to build something here. Get out of here. Hashtag tusks up. So I don't know. There and the rest of this, what I don't want to do is play the game where it's like, well, who can I bring over here is just a rental. I don't want a rental. Get out of here with your rentals.
Is there anybody like from, probably they're not going to get rid of Noah Dobson, but anybody on the Islanders we can kind of pluck away?
Well, I was looking at Dobson too, and I forgot that he was hurt. I mean, we could pull up, Ryan Pulak's hurt too.
Wonderful.
It's right side D. Adam Pellick. Well, don't forget too, like the Islanders are on their own little 8-game winning streak right now. So
lest we forget that Dennis Chalowski is available.
Oh, great.
Yep. Jim saying some people want us to trade for Zegras. Those people are named Michael. Matt won't let me have it, but I think it would be cool to have him on our team.
Nah, you can have it. Go ahead.
Yes.
I don't know. This is tough because some teams have already moved their garbage. I don't know. Adam Pellick, Mike, left side D, 5.8 for 5 years. That contract's going to be like nothing, but he's already 30 years old. He does come in, Mike, with top of the league even strength numbers right now. He's at 99% in the NHL. Mm. He's basically your best defensive defenseman in the league right now. He's just horrible on the offensive side. But we've got that covered. So maybe that's fine. Maybe that'll work out. But again, another 30-year-old guy. I don't know if I want a guy till he's 35 and who's already, you know, can make the argument declining a little bit, especially with how horrible the offensive numbers are. Could also just have a horrible offensive numbers with the way the Islanders are built. So
Decoy saying, remember when Rick Rude carried Francine to the locker room? Thanks, Decoy. We did have some shout outs for Barkov. But yeah, I think we might just have to let this marinate because now we're just combing through team rosters here.
Isn't that tough? Like, you're going to have to do a hockey trade, right? At that point. And I don't know if I'm in Are you in the mood for a hockey trade to lose something juicy? Because Florida right now, like if you had to pick who are your cup contenders, you're probably looking at Florida, Toronto, Vegas. And I feel like a lot of other teams have like a question mark. Oh, Dallas for sure. And everybody else.
Are we giving up on Winnipeg and Minnesota and the Capitals?
Yeah, I'll give up on Winnipeg all day long. Minnesota, I'll give up on. Kirill just got hurt.
Wingdings.
Edmonton. I forgot about Edmonton. Yeah, there's another
McJesus.
One. Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got a smattering, right, of like legit contenders. I don't think you want to touch anything in Florida. Or I don't think Florida wants to touch anything.
I don't like touching anything in Florida. It's a disgusting state. Hate it.
It's got Disney World.
Speaking of that, I forgot
about Carolina. Ooh, I should have taken a second and looked at standings.
Let's do this. We got to wrap it up, but we got to do at least the game preview for the final game before the break.
I don't believe in Washington, Wingdings, just so you know.
We go to war against Tampa Bay, and I know you got that card pulled up for us, but it is a little misleading because it includes half a season of Lalonde.
Yeah, it's almost like I don't even want to pull it up because we're a totally different team now.
Yeah.
But
this would be a giant win. I don't expect it because it's, you know, on the road. It's a tough game. I think they probably remember that we beat them last time. So they probably got some receipts in their pocket, but this team's cooking, man. It's not crazy. A win is not crazy.
It's a big one. It's must-watch TV. Every time we declare the Red Wings are must-watch TV again, they start losing, but I'm doing it.
So this is I'm doing it. It's the Saturday, 1 o'clock game on
must-watch TV.
On ABC. Yeah, they're not competing with football or anything. This is what you do on Saturday.
Wingdings. Everyone but Larkin, Sider, and Raymond are trade pieces. That's a hot take.
Did I say that was on the road? Isn't that at home versus Tampa?
I can neither confirm nor deny right now. Yep.
That's at home. So we could still shop some tickets, see a big old hockey game.
Is that, I can't go to that game. I got a daddy daughter dance on Saturday.
No!
I'm really hoping it just turns into a snack fest and we just sit at the snack table snacking it up. Nobody cares. All right. Well guys,
I'll see you guys.
Thanks for tuning in.
Let's go.
All right. I'm gonna call. Should we put a number on it?
The score of the game?
Yeah.
If we're winning this game, man, they're going to be throwing everything at us. No backup goalies on this day. This could be a Vasilevsky game. Matt, give me 3-2, Red Wings.
4-3, Red Wings.
Ooh-wee. We got a lot of 3-1 wings, 3-2 wings. Brian's saying 4-2.
Chewy's got 4-2.
Maybe a little empty netter in there. And Dan. Yeah, just make sure you tune in this weekend. Huge, huge game.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We gotta come up with some more trade pieces, especially with we're gonna have a little bit of a break here. No games to talk about. But that's what we'll do these next couple of weeks. We'll look for some juicy trades. But we'll see you guys next Wednesday. Let's do some more trade talk. We'll see you then.
Woo! Let's go!